from the desk below. Back from the desk of low. I have with me, this is family on the line right here, so you better show some respect. He's releasing albums like once a week. He's releasing albums like singles, so we'll get into all that. But without further introduction, this is his third time on the show. I have with me my guy, Wizards Beast.
What up, homie?
Oh, you're just doing good, yo. We just finished bumping Crown Royal Over Life, man. That shit is fire.
Hey, appreciate that, G. Appreciate it.
So you working, I see. That's why you've been quiet for so long.
Yeah, yo, you know, I want to be different, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to do things the way everybody else do it. I don't want to, you know, kind of follow the protocol or the formula, you know what I'm saying? I consider myself a multifaceted artist, and I just, you know, I wanted to showcase that, you know what I'm saying? So, shit, bang their ass over the head till they can't get up, you know what I'm saying?
That's a fact right there, too. So, I understand that you had Crown Royal Over Life for some time now, too, because I always pay attention no matter what. So, when I heard that you had this album for a while now, I was curious, like, when did you make this album? Like, when was the initial date that you made the first song? Like, 2016, 2018?
Man, Crown Royal Over Life, if I'm accurate, and don't quote me on it, but okay. I'm going to say it had to be either 2016 or 2017. Oh. I think it's when Crown Royal Over Life kind of came into fruition, or at least we started working on it with the homie Killer Hurts, you know what I'm saying, to get it done.
Yeah, and then for the people who don't know, too, Killer Hurts produced the whole project, right?
Yes, yeah. Shout out to the homie Killer Hurts. Yeah, he, man, we were really like celebrating Hello Tomorrow, you know, with Mark Sox and Tone Beats, and just off of their energy, you know, me and Killer Hurts was like, you know, we got to do something together. We had worked together before with my homie Syllabus some years ago on an album called Therapy for Geniuses that we never released, but it was kind of like during that time frame where I developed a like an affinity for Killer Hurts production, you know what I'm saying? And I kind of, it matched really, really well with mine. So when the decision to do an album kind of came up, it was a no-brainer, you know what I'm saying?
So when, because I don't think Killer Hurts knew what he was getting himself into with this album too, because like, wow, like when I heard like just the intro alone, I was like, oh, I'm about to get taken on for some ride for this shit right here.
I mean, you know, again, it was in the spirit of competition on one hand. On the other hand, you know, for anybody who ain't, you know, one, make sure you go subscribe to that Bandcamp, man. You can see all of the content. We did some promotional videos for it where I really kind of get into the method behind the madness in terms of creating Crown Royal Over Life. And it really came out of a spirit of a middle finger. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I drink a lot. Crown Royal, my drink of choice, obviously. And, you know, people, you know, would make comments like, man, you drink too much, or you might be an alcoholic and all this other kind of stuff. So that shit used to irk the fuck out of me. You know what I'm saying? And so I was just like, man, I bet I'm about to get faded, and I'm going to write an incredibly dope hip-hop album. You know what I'm saying? And then I want motherfuckers to tell me that, you know, getting drunk only, you know, limits your creativity or impedes your productivity. Like, actually, nah, I was able to make an incredible album, Faded. So, fuck you.
Yeah, and also, too, like, for the people who don't know, too, like, Wiz's favorite drink of choice is Crown Royal, too, out there, too. That's why he named it that, too. But when you were actual making this album, too, like, what was the initial first track that you laid down? Like, was it, like, the intro, or did you have to, like, play around with this a bit, though? Because I understand, like, it aged really well if you record this from 2016 to 2018, 2016 to 2017.
Yeah, I mean, and shockingly to me, too, you know, when I went back to listen to it, I was impressed with how well it aged. But, I want to say it was either, it was either Pressure or Maybe that got recorded first. And I want to say it was Pressure that got recorded first. I think Pressure was kind of like a one-off. You know what I'm saying? I had some Killer Hurst production, and I think I wrote to that one first, liked how that felt. And so I said, let's go ahead and start working on the album. And then I guess Maybe was probably the first song that was written and recorded with the intention of being on the album. You know what I'm saying? Pressure just kind of, like, let it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Wow, okay. Because, like, you have, like, certain lines. I forget which one it is. It's either Killing Me Softly or Time. When you said, there's spirits in these spirits. When you said that, I got, like, chills down my spine, too. Because I remember partying in high school, like, saying, I was like, man, why do they call it spirits? And then somebody was like, you know there's ghosts in these bottles? And then when you said that, I was like, yo, man, that shit had chills down my spine.
Yeah, I'm glad you caught that, bro. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, and I grew up, I heard the same thing. I was a shorty in Chicago. Like, you would drive past the liquor store, and it'd say wine, spirits, or whatever. And I'm like, spirits, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? And, you know, and it's a bunch of different, you know, explanations. You know how shit go, man. It get to different people, and everybody got their own reasoning or why behind it. But yeah, like once upon a time, there was a belief that, you know, it was spirits and alcohol, and it's why when people got drunk, they acted different ways. It was like they were being possessed or something. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of wanted to use that thinking, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, man, it's spirits in these spirits, bro. You know what I'm saying? This shit got me going through something, feeling the way. You know what I mean?
Well, and also, too, like, I don't think any other rapper could have used that line better, because this whole album revolves around, like, Crown Royal or just having a few drinks, too, because, like, there's even some points in this album, too, you can hear the cup being poured up in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we wanted to do that on purpose. Even, like, shout out to my homegirl, Felicia, she the one on the interludes in between, but we was just kind of talking about it and building on, like, her drink of choice, Brown Apple. And I really wanted to kind of keep the point, you know, in the listener's ear. Like, make sure, you know, because even though the songs aren't necessarily like stories per se or anything like that, it's a very conceptual album. There is an underlying theme. There's an underlying reason to each song. And so, you know, cup being brought up, the conversations with Shorty, always kind of keeps this concept in the forefront of your mind about, you know, drinking and whatever that means to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, me personally, I'm not a social drinker. I like to drink by myself.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, I'm more of a moody drunk, I guess. Some people say I'm a happy drunk when I'm around other people, but I just like to kind of get in my own space, sip a little bit, kind of get outside of my sober mind. And that's what came out when I did that. You know what I'm saying?
So what initially, like, made you want to hold it off, too? Because, like, if I were you, if I heard that project and complete, I'm like, yo, we putting the shit out tomorrow.
No, that was definitely the vibe. You know what I'm saying? Definitely the vibe. I was thoroughly impressed with the album. I was satisfied with the album when it was completed. But at the time, that feeling was undergoing a major overhaul. You know, we were transitioning, so that feeling, before that feeling was that feeling, go get it, it was that feeling where music is heard, not felt. You know what I'm saying? And we had a whole vibe we was doing along those lines. And we all kind of came together, of course, led by the homie Mark, and decided that, you know, we needed to be a little bit more fun, I'll say, in our approach. Be a little bit more purposeful,
okay.
But a little bit more, always remember that we are entertaining. As much as we may want to inform, as much as we may want to enlighten, as much as we may want to edify and build up people, make no mistake, we are still in the entertainment business. And so we decided that we needed to kind of make a shift towards being more entertaining, being a little bit more lighthearted. And so once that decision was made, the music, of course, is now going to shift. And so I was like, well, if we're going to do that, then Crown Royal Over Life isn't the album that we need to lead off with. So I actually pulled back on Crown Royal Over Life, and instead what came out was Go Get It One.
Oh, wow, geez. Okay, so that would explain songs like No Tent then, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, see, like, this is why I love when artists do interviews, too, because, like, if you do think about it, too, like, everything is timing, too, because maybe, like, back then, if you would have released it now, you would have looked back on it as, like, man, I released that too early. Now, it'd be like, now it's the right time.
Yeah, it feels like it. I will definitely say that. It feels like it. I think it's more eyes on what we're doing now than it was then. And I think with people, you know, being familiar with the Dat Feeling sound, being familiar with how we move and how we rock, so to put that album out, it doesn't necessarily reset the standard or reset the bar on what we're doing. We're an entertaining group of dudes. At this point, you already know Wiz's Beast. You already know Wiz's Beast drinks Crown Royal. You see him in all the photos and the videos with the Quick Trip cup. You know what I'm saying? These are all ideas that, you know, the fan base is aware of at this point. So then now to give you an album called Crown Royal Over Life, it makes total sense. You're familiar with all of these concepts and the person that's presenting them to you. So, even though I would love to say I did it on purpose when I hold it, but I will say, looking back, I think, you know what I'm saying, it all worked out beautifully.
Yeah, that's very true, too, because sometimes, like, when you think something is finished, too, it may not be that time to put it out, too. It's like, you know what, I may have to just wait on this, too. But now it's like, you got to go get it, and you got to go get it, too. And then plus your appearances, too, like on the Sock Monster, too. So it's like,
yeah.
Let's just put this out. And plus, like, yeah, I mean, died when I heard your 110 interview with when he was promoting the Dead Tape, too, when you guys were saying, y'all, we need is blood ashes on the table.
Yeah, shout out to 110, bro. We had a blast doing that interview, man.
Oh, yeah, it definitely sounds like you gave him just the right amount of Crown Royal. He's like, I can barely taste this.
I know, right? Straight up.
So for the people who want to know, too, like, did you stick to strictly one type of Crown Royal? Because I know there's different flavors out there. Like, did you mix it up when you were making this?
So when I did Crown Royal Over Life, I didn't. I was strictly regular Crown Royal. I try everything that they put out. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a fan of the brand. So I try everything at least once. You know what I'm saying? But what I usually settle on is either your regular Crown Royal or Crown Royal XO. You know what I'm saying? Which Crown Royal XO is probably my favorite liquor, period, across the board. And so when I did Crown Royal Over Life, in making it, it was all regular Crown Royal. When I finished it, I poured me a glass of Crown Royal XO to celebrate that it was complete.
Okay. So I just had to get the vibe of the XO to make sure, like, okay, this is done.
Yeah. The XO kind of gave me something to shoot for. It's like, you got to earn this one. You know, the bottle a little bit more expensive. I think the XO bottle, depending on where you go, it's a $40, $50 fifth.
Holy shit.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, so, and the flavor's a little bit better. It's a little bit smoother. You know what I'm saying? Still got that Crown Royal bite, but it gave me something to shoot for. Like, you know, I made that a goal. Okay, we gonna once you complete the album and you're satisfied with the album, then you've earned yourself a drink or two with some XO. So that's exactly what I did.
Okay. Now, you have the general on the title track, too. How hard was it to, like, pick, like, the features for this, too? Because you have E. Smitty and Cheryl Terry. I'm sorry if I said your name wrong, Queen.
No, you got it right. You got it
okay.
right.
Good all job. Right. All right.
The features weren't hard at all. You know, Mark Sox is pretty much like a staple on a lot of my albums, even though it's shockingly on this 4-album run, he doesn't make an appearance. It's only Southside Clubber that he's not on the Lo-Fi album that's coming out. He does like some background vocal stuff for me. But yeah, up to the Crown Royal part, I mean, every album I had done, he's on it. And so, you know, and I'm always looking to get him on it. We work extremely well together. We've been rocking 20 years now, probably longer. I don't even keep track anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's unnecessary. That's my brother, period. You know what I'm saying? So, and we always work well together. We make incredible music together. Every time I get on one of his songs, he gets on one of my songs. It just, you can hear the chemistry, the magic. It all comes really, really natural. You know, we've had plenty of people say, man, y'all got to do an album together.
Yeah.
And Mark Sox, he got the infamous line now. You know, yeah, that'll happen. You know, that's organic. That'll happen. Like go-to line. You know what I'm saying? And I imagine at some point it'll make sense to do it. But yeah, like, so featuring him and then definitely having him on the lead off for the album was a big deal for me. I really wanted to do that because, again, Hello Tomorrow,
yes,
with him, it's such a inspiration to do the album. I definitely wanted to lead off for him. And then E. Smitty, really, it was just, like, because of the vibe of Crown Royal, I had to have his vocals on there somewhere. I love the way the homie sing. I love his tone. I love his timbre, if I want to, you know, sound all studious in my musical knowledge. You know what I'm saying? I like the way he do his thing. So it was like finding a space to kind of let him breathe. And the song Rhythm and Blues, ironically, it worked out. Like, it was already called Rhythm and Blues before I decided to put him on it. Okay. And he came through with it. And then, man, much love. Shout out to Sherelle Terry. I call her. So, like, I wrote the song. And I wrote the song with it in mind that I wanted a female to rap it. And I didn't know anybody that could do it. I didn't know any female rappers or any females that I thought would sound good rapping it. And of course, the homie Mark, he knew her. He reached out to her. She was absolutely on board with it. I sent her the lyrics. I sent her a demo of me doing it. And I think, you know, it maybe took her a couple of days to, you know, turn it around and send it back. And she killed it. She killed it. She absolutely blew away my expectations, or, you know, the standard I set for the song. She blazed that shit. Like, she sounds perfect. So, yeah, I mean, like, the features came through. They showed up. And I'm not really a feature person for the sake of features. Like, I don't just, you know, have people on just to have them.
Yeah.
So I like them to be purposeful and meaningful. And I think definitely the features on Crown Royal Over Life, they definitely met that criteria.
I bet, like, so, like, when you're expecting to get, like, when you're waiting for a feature to do a turnaround, too, when you get it back, like, do you say to yourself, like, oh, I can't wait to hear this, motherfucker?
But for the most part.
Okay.
For the most part, it depends on the artist. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I've asked for features for songs just because of a relationship with an artist. I may not necessarily be the biggest fan of how they do their thing. And so sometimes, you know, you're kind of like, you know, I'm not really necessarily looking forward to it. But then other times you have people that you're really a fan of what they do. You're really a fan of their craft. And you can't wait to hear how they bless you. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, you got sometimes where people don't take features that serious.
Yeah.
So you kind of, like, their B verse, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I see. Oh, I know. I seen something like that on Facebook. Somebody was, like, saying, when we get a verse and I got a hard line, I may have to take that. I was like, oh, you ain't getting that one. I give him a V verse. And I was like, oh, you motherfuckers.
Yeah, yo, I don't understand that. I think features is where you should definitely try to shine the most.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't get me wrong. It can't backfire on you. I think to this day, people feel like for all of the feature verses and guest verses that Method Man killed in his career, we never got the album that matched.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's so, a fact.
You know what I'm saying? So he's kind of like the poster child of why maybe, you know, people sometimes want to hold back their better material. But I utterly disagree. I'm with Method Man. Like, you know, he's talked about it. And first of all, this is hip hop. So if I'm featuring on your song, I'm trying to have the best verse on the song. I'm trying to demolish everything else. I want people to listen to the song and say, damn, the song was dope. But damn, did you hear Wiz verse? You know what I'm saying? Like, I want that. So I'm putting that kind of energy. I'm putting that kind of time and effort in. And then also because, you know, if you ask me to feature on your song, like, I take that as an honor and a privilege. I don't give a fuck about your status.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that you want to work with me, say something. And so I'm not going to half-ass you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give you my best. It just so happens that my best is probably better than yours.
Yeah. Well, and also, too, like, when you're featured, like, when the person reaches out to you, too, and if they never heard of you, too, and when they hear that verse, too, you can just gain a whole new fan from that feature. It happened to me, like, four or five times.
Yes. Me, too. Yes. Absolutely. Shine on them features. Hey, to all the artists listening, shine. You get a feature, kill that shit.
Yeah.
It is your best verse. So what? You know what I'm saying? Tear that bitch up. Do your thing.
Yeah, the point is, like, kill on sight. Don't be half-assing it, saying, like, he ain't getting this. I'm saving this for my album. You want that verse talked about, like, how Control was. That wasn't even a song.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you can utterly rock the landscape of music with a crazy feature verse.
Yeah.
It's happened so many times. I mean, think about all of the crazy feature verses that was on, like, R&B songs. Luda got a bunch of them. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Maya. I mean, like just memorable moments. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, get those. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no guarantee you're going to get those on your own album.
Yeah.
You might, you know what I'm saying, go ahead and slide in on a feature one time and snap you a piece of history. You know what I'm saying?
Well, even, like, T.I.'s verse on Soldier, too. Like, that's on a Destiny's Child record, too. I was like, damn, he smoked that shit.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Lil Wayne is another one who smokes R&B feature.
Oh, yes.
Like, you know what I mean? He, like I still love his verse on the Turning Me Off, Kerry Hilson joint.
Oh, take me back.
You know what I'm saying? like, bro, shine. Every time the light hits you, you should be shining. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and also, too, like, when you're featuring, too, like, it can bring out the... Because when you featured on an artist song, they may have, like, the original verse, and it may inspire them to be like, I'm going to go back and just rewrite my first one.
Hell yeah, I'm definitely trying to make artists do that. My verse, back to the lab with your shit.
So as we get into Southside Club or Two, is I gotta ask at first, because, like, I fucking love Rocky. When was the first time you ever seen Rocky 3? Because that's the guy he fights in Rocky 3, and you put that as the cover.
Yeah. Club LA, man. The first time I saw Rocky 3, I can't tell you the exact year.
Okay.
It was probably sometime in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? Is when I first saw it. Like, I think the movie came out in the 80s.
Yeah.
So, like I saw it on, like, you know, VHS tape or something, whatever was out at that time. But yeah, it had to be, I would say early to mid 90s is probably the first time I saw Rocky III. And so, like, when I was younger, I had an aunt that always called me Mr. T. And I grew up on the A-Team. I grew up on Mr. T's cartoon, his action figures. He was always the big deal. And then because my name Tony, like, I identify with the Mr. T. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like a piece of nostalgia for me, for my childhood. But then also, like, I remember the character Clubber Lang being from the South Side of Chicago. That was a source of pride for me in the movie. I didn't find out till years later that Mr. T was actually himself from the South Side of Chicago. And actually, it was me finding that out that inspired me to do the album.
Oh, because, like, it's like, wow. It's like, yo, I used to be called Mr. T back then. And you hear that all those years later. It's like, you know what? I'm going to put this destiny into fruition. That's like you were saying.
Yeah, I like how you say that. Yeah, absolutely. It definitely seems that way. You know what I'm saying? Something a long time coming. I mean, so many years removed, you know, from being, you know, I was younger than my youngest child, you know, in my aunt crib. She was making me waffles with the waffle maker, you know, calling me Mr. T. It was just dope to me to get to this point now where, you know, I identify with this cat and I identify with what Mr. T stood for as a man. And I identify with the character Club Elaine, his hunger to be a champion and to be the best. And, you know, I definitely see myself as having the fighting spirit, the fighting heart. I'm absolutely willing to fight, nigga. You know what I mean? I'm not a shooter. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a shooter. I ain't one of them niggas. You know what I mean? I don't believe in that. You know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. I do what I got to do in the moment. But, I you know, as many people have said before me, you can't come back from dying. So,
yeah.
So, you know, a lot of disagreements that maybe do need to get physical, I don't think they should necessarily result in death. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes, you know, man, it's okay, man. Put the gloves on and get busy. You know what I'm saying? Or like J-Rock said it on the album, I just wish niggas would knuckle up and box one time. Like,
yeah,
get to it. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the spirit of Clever Lang. And then that's the spirit that I embodied, or to the best of my ability, on the album Southside Club.
So when did you, like, find that out, like, and then you, when you made, like, the first move to actually, like, okay, I'm doing this album? Because, like, you can say a lot of it, but for you to actually do it's another.
Right. So I found out, let me see, this is 2019. I probably found out in 2018 that Mr. T was from Southside Chicago, and that's when I decided to do the album.
Okay.
And then it originally was actually going to be another producer exclusive, I guess is what I would call it, where it was just going to be Tone Beats production on it.
Oh.
Yes, and that's what we started out with. So, and that's why he has the majority of the production. He has four of the songs. But then, like, you know, some other stuff happened behind the scenes that kind of put a halt to the album at the time. So, you know, I kind of stopped. I let it go, moved on to some other stuff. You know, and then I actually, when we started coming up with the rollouts for all of the albums, I had told the team that, you know, we're going to go ahead and scrap this Southside Club, or I need some more production. I had reached out to Tone, but, you know, I hadn't gotten any beats back. So I was like, I like the idea. I wanted to keep the idea, but, you know, I just felt like the project wasn't going to be ready in time. And thankfully, man, I got in-house with 110 and Clint Taylor to come through for me in a clutch. And I got to say, I got to kick my own self in the ass, because when I had decided to scrap the, when I scrapped or just put the album on pause, like, I didn't even reach out to them. And they absolutely had what I needed for the project, to take the project over the top. And thankfully, 110 came through and was like, hey, bro, like, let me try to get on there. Like, I'll send you something.
Yeah, it's like, yo, I got a gang of beats over here for you.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, what about me, bro? You know, and then I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm like, man, we got Clint Taylor in the building. Like, bro, he's been wanting to work with me. You know what I'm saying? And we were trying to find the right moment, the right song, the right reason, whatever. And, man, they came through. I mean, 110, I tell everybody, 110 slid in there, Drew Do, and dropped the best track of the project, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he produced For All the Wars. That's the joint that we opened the project with. You know what I'm saying? And
okay.
They came through, helped me out, and I was able to get the album to where it needed to be to put it out on time. So, I mean, as much as it's my baby and my thing, like, that album wouldn't even exist if 110 and Clint didn't come through in the clutch. And then still, of course, I got to show love to Tone Beats, because, again, like, he set the stage, he set the tone for what the album was supposed to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So when you were initially, like, made, because you have two songs named Warfare 2, did Tone produce both of them?
Yeah, if I'm remembering correctly, yeah, he sure did.
Okay,
yeah.
What made you want to have two songs named that? Because you spell it differently, one's named Warfare and then one's named Warfare.
Yeah, so the first one, I think was the second to last track, is, yes, Warfair.
Yes.
And I spelled that Warfare, it's basically kind of like a play on the word, of course, but then also to express my perspective of war being fair. Not necessarily, you know, grand scale war like World War One and all, you know, stupid shit politicians be having niggas doing.
Yeah.
But war in terms of the individual fight, be it, you know, the one-on-one fade with a nigga that you got beef with, the fade with your homie, to the war of getting out of bed at 5 a.m. because you're trying to work out and lose weight, the war of sitting down and writing a paper for school when you don't feel like it, the war of working a 9-to-5 to fund a dream. You know what I'm saying? These are all wars. These are fights. And they're all fair because when I say fair, I don't mean fair isn't necessarily equal in terms of the odds. I mean fair in terms of it is based on your effort, period. You know what I'm saying? It's the amount of heart you put into it. And so and there's no limit to the amount of heart you can put into something. No one can stop you from trying your best at a thing. No one can stop you. So it's on you how much effort you put in to the thing that you're warring with, to the fight that you're now engaged in. And so in that sense, that war is fair. And that's what that song was about. And then warfare, W-A-R-F-A-R-E, that's, you know, just blatant, you know what I'm saying? Tony yeah. Beats came through with the Mr. T clips, and we just got into it. Like, nigga, it's on, period. You know what I'm saying?
Mr. T clips. Big ass clips, I'm imagining.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Because, like, for the people who may just, like, look at a song before they listen to it, too, like, well, why does he have two warfares, too? But I like how you broke it down like that, too, because, like, you may not want to do something, but, like, at the end of the day, you got to do it. Like, you got to pay your bills. You can't just not pay your bills.
Exactly.
Okay. So, and then when you initially went out to make this album, too, like, did you originally have more songs for it, too? Or did you originally, like, okay, this is 7 songs at the max?
Yeah, so peep it. Here's the crazy part. Every song that I wrote and or recorded for Clubber Lane is on Southside Clubber is on the album. There are no Lucy's that didn't make it.
Okay.
Yeah. So everything was absolutely purposeful. Tone sent me 4 beats. Those are the 4 beats that are on the project. Those are the 4 beats that I wrote to immediately. 110 sent me the one. That's the one that's on there. The only one that I think Clint Taylor, and it's just because of how Clint is. Like, I needed the 2 from him, but he sent me, like, 3. I think even, like, before, when we first started working together, he had sent me a few. But Clint, like if y'all peep that Midnight Oil, like, that shit is serious. This dude is extremely serious about his craft. So you may hit him up and say, I just need a beat from you, and the first one be exactly what you need.
Yeah.
But he'll do 3 more. You know what I'm saying? Just in case. And then he can do that because he is burning that midnight oil. He's putting that kind of effort in. So, you know, he slid through with extras, but, I mean, he sent me the 2 that I needed. And, you know, I wrote the joints, and when I finished it, I was like, I'm satisfied with the album. I think, you know, a lot of people complain about 7-song albums nowadays, but with our attention span, you know, as a society, I think it's perfect. It absolutely gives me the time and space to cover my point. I think the point is made well on the project. And then we get the fuck up out of there. You know what I'm saying? Period.
Well, also, too, like, a lot of people, like, they have to be careful with the Dad Feeling sound, too, because Clint Taylor or Tone Beats, they may send you, like, 3 or 4 tracks, and you may write to all of them.
Right.
Like, right. A lot of people need to go peep that Hello Tomorrow album.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you just want to be, like you said, you want to be mindful of your sound, you know, and what you're doing. I think Jay-Z on a mainstream scale has best illustrated this, that a beat could be incredible, it just may not be for you, or a beat could be incredible and be for you, but not be for this particular project. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's so many variables that go into it, and you got to listen to that. You can't force it. It's got to feel right. You know what I'm saying?
I like how you said that, too. Like, you can't force it, too, because you can tell when somebody is trying to force something, like a collaboration, or trying to force themselves to rap over someone else's production.
Yeah.
Like, you can say, oh, yeah, this guy just wanted to get out the studio. He just do anything together to get this out.
Exactly. It could work. It could be a good song, but is it as good as it could have been? Is it as good as it was supposed to be? You know what I'm saying?
See, we don't do that Dad Feeling. It's quality over here.
Yeah, quality, baby. Quality. It may look like quantity because niggas is cooking crazy, but trust me, we do quality over here.
Oh, yeah, trust me. Nothing just gets thrown by. Like, everything has to go through the general.
Absolutely.
So I have a question for you. I actually just want to play like a 10-second snippet of it. I actually just want to know the first time when you heard this album.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you gotta love the ads. Yeah, don't mind that, people listening. All right. All right, so when was the first time you heard that Title Goes Here album?
Bro, I can't even tell you. I don't even remember the time frame. It's crazy, me and Mark was talking about it on Elbrick Road, and because I'm so familiar with so much of his body of work, I'm mixing up songs that's on it. Like, I know Title Goes Here, right? But I'm mixing it up with the 40 album. I'm mixing it up with... what was the other one? B album. I think not B.
The Believe album.
Which one?
The Believe Project. I believe it's called.
Believe. Yeah, that one. I'm mixing up that one. I'm mixing it up with Detroit Wonderful. You know what I'm saying? It's got so many, but so I can't even give you a date on when I heard that. You know what I'm saying? I do know that when I heard it though, I lost my motherfucking mind. It's slapping, bro.
Like, that shit still goes off to this day, and like, and you said it too. That's your most favorite album by him, and I'm with you on that too. Cause like that album right there, that album is, I don't know how well that album made like aged. Like, that is timeless.
Oh yeah, yeah. It definitely is. But just from what I've heard for the Elbrick Road project. Like, he may surpass it. I don't know. I mean, that's a tall order. You know, Title Goes Here is up there. And even with, you know, Title, I mean, to even get to Title Goes Here, you still got to pass the Believe joint. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's a lot. But, I mean, from what I'm hearing, what he doing, like, man, this dude, he cooking up some craziness. You know what I'm saying? So, it's just more the same from that guy.
Because, like, you guys have a long friendship together, too. And, like, I like how, like, when you guys tell stories about, like, when you first came back from Japan, too. Like, how some guy in some meeting just treating you guys like shit. And you're just trying to, you're like, I'm not taking this guy's shit.
Yeah. Yeah, the homie didn't backtrack. You know what I'm saying? I think at the time he ain't want me to be out here wilding. I don't think he wanted us known for that kind of energy.
Yeah.
And I understand that, you know, but sometimes a motherfucker just need their ass whooped, you know, period, you know?
Because sometimes they just push it a little bit too far. It's like, hey, we tried being respectful.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Like I get that you may be in a position to help me, and therefore that offers you some sort of power dynamic in this situation. I get that, don't get me wrong, but there is a way to carry it, you know, and then, mind you, I mean, you can carry it however you want, but you just got to understand that there may be consequences that come with that. You know, everybody's not just gonna, you know, brush it off or not take it personal or anything like that. Somebody may very well be offended. And if they anything like me, then, you know, offense that's perceived as disrespect equal me putting my foot in your ass. Period. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you on that.
Straight like that. Like, I ain't no bully or nothing. I'm not looking for it like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I demand a certain level of respect. And I'm willing, you know, put some work in on your forehead to get it.
And you're not just going to let people just walk all over you. It's like, we're all human beings. Absolutely, it's got to be not treated the way you want to be treated.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, this is what I always say, too, because when I heard you guys on the Hello Tomorrow project, too, on Bake Sale, too, I was like, damn, yo, this gives me, like, a ghost face. I said it before to you in January, but this gives me, like, a ghost face killer or even, like, a Conway and West Side Gun vibe, but it's, like, its own vibe. It's Mark Sucks and Wizard's Beast vibe.
Yeah, it is. It is its own thing, you know? And it's crazy because through all of the variations that we've been in terms of our artistry, you know what I'm saying? The different names we've been under, the different types of music we were doing. Anytime we came together, it was always its own thing. It always felt good. It always sounded good. Like, you know, I mean, and I'd be a fool to be like, to have somebody like that with that I have that kind of chemistry with. You know, and then plus we cool outside the music. Like,
yeah,
we homies, period. You know what I'm saying? So, like, to you know, bounce on that or go do something different. I mean, I don't know why, you know, why I would. Like I have, I mean, I work well with plenty of artists. You know, there are plenty of artists that I do incredible music with. But me and him is just something different. It's just, it's its own thing. It's a whole other thing. And to be honest, like, I'm not even really big on pressing to do the album. I think giving it to people in doses here and there, I think is a lot more fulfilling. You know what I'm saying? For me personally, so.
Would you say, too, it's kind of like the Method Man thing that you brought up earlier about? Something like that?
Yeah. I think not doing it all of the time, you know, keeps it fresh.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Keeps it fresh. And so whenever we do come together, you know, I know definitely on my part, whenever we do come together, we know it's going to be something. You know what I'm saying?
I just love when you two rap on those underground type of beats. Just like, holy shit.
Yeah, we be going in.
And then for this is the only one I haven't heard, dope, but I got it saved, dope, but dead, because like I said, you'll be releasing albums like singles, and I like to digest, too. You have Baller Box for the third release.
Yep, Baller Box came out this past Friday, yep.
Okay.
And really, you know, like, you know, and I'm sure maybe like towards the end of the interview, we'll get into why I dropped, you know, so many so fast. But I really wanted people to understand, like, I ain't just one thing. You know what I'm saying? You can't just say, oh, he's an underground rapper. You know, he's not. He doesn't really make commercial type music. He doesn't make mainstream type music or all he does is make mainstream type music. He don't really get busy with the lyrics like talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, or he can't just sit in the groove. He can't just relax. Like, I do it all. You know what I'm saying? I'm a true master with the pen. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm a diverse individual like most people. And I think people get pigeonholed in life, you know what I'm saying, into being a thing. It's like, oh, this is what you're known for. And it's like even me being Wiz's Beast, right? It's like being Wiz's Beast, like he aggressive, you know, he's a short dude, he angry, you know what I'm saying? He like to drink, he talks shit, you know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, man, all of these things are true. All of these things are true. But at the same time, I'm also extremely intelligent, I can be laid back. I'm definitely loyal, dependable as a friend, you know what I mean? These things are true as well. And so instead of holding these other facets back about myself, I wanted to express them. And so Baller Box is definitely the more loud, bombastic, aggressive side of me. But the album itself is a touch of being more mainstream than, you know, Crown Royal Over Life or Southside Clubber. And shout out to Henny P. He A&R'd the project. Every beat you give me rhyme on that album, he handpicked. And when I tell you that man killed that shit, bro, I mean, killed that shit.
Oh, I believe you. Henny P's ear is crazy for an A&R.
Crazy, dude. Crazy. Crazy, dog. Like his ability, we was talking about it last night at the session. Like, his ability to not only hear a beat and know that it's an incredible piece of music, but to also know which artist to send it to. You know what I'm saying? To know that this beat works better for Mark Sox than Wiz, that it works better for E. Smitty than Mark. You know what I'm saying? Like, the beats that he picked for me to rap on Baller Box absolutely fit my mold, fit my energy, and what I was trying to do on that album, and gave that shit a sound landscape that's stupid, bro. He killed that shit. Shouts to Andy P, yo.
I was gonna say too, when I was looking up, because I never heard, but I checked out the track list, and when I seen Mouth Soul Riddles, I was like, holy shit, I need to hear this, because like, man, when you guys work on Mouth Soul Riddles, that's something else too.
Yeah. No, homie showed up for that one. He showed up for that one. That was actually one of the first songs that got laid for the album. And yeah, I when I met him, I knew I wanted to do a song with him, and that's basically where Moonlight came from. It was like, oh, it was like, okay, boom, this is the one, and he showed up, man. He killed it. He killed that hook, bro. It's definitely, it seems so far to be definitely a crowd favorite. The squad love it. The squad love it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that's one of them.
Okay, and then when you are, because I heard you talk about this too, the fourth release that it's not out yet, but you called it the Lo-Fi Files.
So, well, man, this album didn't have so many titles. So many titles, and to be perfectly honest with you, it still ain't got a definitive one yet.
Okay.
But so I just keep referring to it as the Lo-Fi album right now, or whatever version. Like, I thought about calling it Lo-Fi Files, Lo-Fi Soul, 10 Mil Tony, like, just, I mean, all kind of shit, you know what I'm saying? Just because, you know, I'm still, this may be as close to an experimental album for me as I've ever done. You know what I'm saying? And not really experimental in terms of the production. Like, I imagine the production will feel familiar to most people, but in terms of what I rap over, and then what I talk about and how I express it, this was extremely personal. Like, I actually never intended for the album to come out. It was for me. I was recording these songs for myself. And then the team would hear it, you know, in sessions or whatever, and niggas was like, "What is that, bro?" And I'm like, you know, this is just something different for me to do while I'm working on the other stuff, like a palate cleanser. And niggas was like, "Bro, that's the shit, though. Like, that's the shit you need to go with." I'm like, "I'm not trying to put this shit out, dude. Like, it's really, really personal, really introspective. And don't get me wrong, I can be that kind of artist, but I mean, this is very." Yeah, I'll say it's the vulnerability of this particular album, you know, isn't something that I necessarily knew I would ever give to the world. So I was on the fence with it. But I think that may be why it still doesn't have a title yet. Like, I'm still wrestling with the idea that I'm putting this out.
Okay, so I like how you said that, too. Like, it's going to be a very introspective project, too, because I would have thought that Crown Royal Over Life would be your most introspective project, but the way that you just explained that too, it's like you're tapping into a whole nother side that people never saw.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not a singer, you know, like that's E. Smitty, you know, that's Mark Sox. Those are the singers on the team. However, the album, the Lo-Fi joint, it heavily features E. Smitty. I really, really leaned on his vocals a lot on this album. I think he's featured on over half of it. He might be like 80% on in terms of the album. Okay. And just because I wanted it to feel a certain kind of way. But I challenged myself to, you know, write the melodies, you know what I'm saying? And get into that bag, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a singer. I don't pretend to be one, you know what I'm saying? Like, not at all. But I was definitely inspired seeing E. Smitty and Mark Sox do their thing on songs like, you know, Right Where I Want to Be, My Word, you know, Part of It, like, you know, E. Smitty's Yeah, Yeah, like, these songs, I'm like, man, I want to create that kind of feeling in my music. And it's so hard to do it, though, because I'm such an aggressive style MC. And I wanted to be, like I said, more vulnerable. Again, this was just for me. This wasn't for public consumption. This is the part of me I wanted to express to myself. And so I would work on the melodies. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have E sing it like this or whatever. And then, you know, him and Mark, when they get together in the lab, they kind of, you know, because I'm bare bones with that shit. I give you very basic, you know, this is kind of how I want it to go. And I let them freak it. You know what I'm saying? And they always come through on that side of things. But so yeah. And then I challenged myself to address topics that I typically wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? And to be honest about how I feel about these topics. And so, again, that's why I say it's so introspective. It's so vulnerable. You know, again, I struggle with the fact that it's coming out. You know what I'm saying?
But hey, you never know what people may gravitate towards too.
Of course. Of course. Which is why it's coming out. I think people, you know, it's hard being comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
Especially with your shortcomings. You know what I'm saying? And not even your shortcomings. I think knowing your faults is easier to deal with than dealing with the shit that you're unsure about within yourself. I think that is the place where people struggle the most that we never ever talk about. It ain't that I know I'm angry, right? Like, I'm aware of that. It's just a part of who I am. Everybody around me knows it. But it's the part of, you know, the parts of me that I'm unsure about. I don't know if I'm this way, or I don't know if I want to be that way. I don't know if I agree with this idea, or, you know, just the feelings of uncertainty and unease. Those things really can, you know, if you let them overtake you, put you in a really dark place. You know what I'm saying? And I've been there. And, you know, especially with, you know, I grew up Christian. You know, I was raised in a Christian household. But, you know, in my adult life, I have shed that faith. And so it kind of changes the way you view everything, even life itself. And so sometimes it can get pretty dark, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. Scary, you know, so, but I forced myself to kind of dig into that, you know, on the Lo-Fi album. And hopefully I covered it well enough, you know?
Well, and then just the way that you explained it, too, I think you did too, because if people are saying, "What is that?" Oh yeah, you definitely doing something of that.
You're probably right, Machi. Probably right.
Because because this is what I said. If they don't acknowledge it, they're probably not paying attention. But if they say, "Oh, what's that?" Oh, they paying attention.
Oh, they paying attention. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I ain't mad at it. I hope you're right, Lo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, 9 out of 10 times I am. So the people, I'm telling you, and then also for the people listening, too, if you want to hear about, like, a little bit of Wiz's backstory, you know, we did, like, an interview back in January, so y'all need to go tap that in and run those numbers back up again.
Yeah, Lo be getting in there, bro, get all the info.
Yeah, you know, half the time after you remember, I'm like, oh, yeah, yo, they said that on my platform.
Yeah.
But there's no other place you gotta be with that feeling though, because like it's just the way that you guys have the sound, it just like it's uplifting too. It just like I always refer to, like, if you wanna know what that feeling is, just go listen to Go Get It One. That explains everything in that album.
Mm-hmm. I tell, like we talked about it, like I would have to agree with that. I think Go Get It Two is something completely different. You know what I'm saying? I think you can hear the growth and the polish on niggas on Go Get It Too. You know what I'm saying? I think we definitely sound more raw.
Yeah, and the growth, like it shows the improvement of the artists.
Yeah, exactly. And then even our ability on songs together. You know what I'm saying? Where before Go Get It One, you know, Mark really kind of put that album together. Not just in terms of the songs, like. We just were recording songs, and then he kind of just put the project together there and to represent what we was doing, just like you said. And so Go Get It Too, we went to it, or should I say he went into it, you know, much more purposeful in terms of the direction of the project. I think between him and NEP, they determined the production that we were going to use. Mark basically came up with the concepts, you know, because he was also going to be doing a lot of the visuals. And, you know, and then me and E just like, okay, you know, this is what we're doing. And we rocked right along. You know, I think everybody knew their place and their position on Go Get It 2. So Go Get It 2, while is great and, you know, showcases our ability and talent and all of that. But I think that you nail it. I think Go Get It 1 really shows what that feeling is about. Like, even if you look at some of the videos that released for it.
Yeah.
Like. Again, kind of going back to what I said earlier, like, you can see the fun that niggas is having. You can see the entertainment value. We are talking about some heavy topics sometimes, but even in that, we still trying to, you know, entertain and just show, like, man, we having a blast at that feeling, bro.
Well, giving y'all that feeling.
Giving you that feeling, you know what I'm saying?
So with that being said, too, like, with Go Get It, too, we even got, like, because it's hard to pick, like, my favorite verse on that album, too, because it can go from, like, long way around, and then I hear lessons, and then I hear work harder. It's like, damn, you know, I can't pick which one, because it's just, all of them are so good. It's just the way that you guys hit them pockets, too, especially on lessons, too, the way that you flow it on lessons, hitting them pockets. I was like, god damn.
Man, I appreciate that, bro. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate that, especially on lessons. You know, I mean, listen, bro, like, you said it earlier in this podcast, you never know what people going to gravitate to. You know what I'm saying? You never know. And so it's like, you know, put your best foot forward, you know what I'm saying? Give it your best, like you know, and then trust it. And then trust it, you know, and I'm with you. I listen to Go Get It Too. Every time I listen to it, I'm impressed. Like, man, cats have really come a long way together. And, you know, I'm on Tuesday, my favorite song might be Boom Boom. And then, you know, Thursday, my favorite song is My Word, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, Saturday, my favorite song is Work Harder, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm with you. It's just... It's a great body of work, you know what I'm saying? I'm very proud of my team for what we were able to create on that project.
Yeah, well, and also, too, like, just the whole way, the rollout, the way it came out, it just showcases, like, even after that, like, with the album rollouts after that, with, like, Clint Taylor, E. Smitty, you, Mark, yeah. It's like, okay, so this was just showing you guys what everybody's capable. Now the people, because I heard that out before everybody else, but now the world can actually hear what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and it's coming slowly but surely, you know, one fan at a time. We definitely, I think I've taken a very grassroots approach to it, but people are coming, and they're coming, you know, faster and faster, you know, shit. That's just kind of how it go, you know. As a snowball roll downhill, picks up steam, picks up size, picks up other people, it's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? So it's really just on us to continue the vision of that feeling, continue to, you know, be honest and open. At the same time, be entertaining, be inviting, and give people something to look forward to. You know, to jam to. To interact with, you know, we totally accessible, you know, like with the Bandcamp situation, you know, we can, you know, get right in contact with our fans, interact on the message boards, they can see the content, talk to us, all that good stuff. And then, you know, like even like, so like November 30th, we got a show at Powell's Lounge in Atlanta. If you're in the ATL area, November 30th, should come out and spend the night with that fella, man. And then all the subscribers,
get it for free.
Is that, well, the subscribers is gonna, they get in for free, they get a free drink on that filling, you know what I'm saying? So you can't lose, you know what I mean? $3 a month, like, come on, man. Like, you know, you get to come out, have a good time, you know what I'm saying? I promise you it's gonna be a great show. We gonna tear that bitch down, make no mistake about it, you know what I'm saying? But it's just that energy. It's like that feeling is a thing. It ain't just about the music. It's just so very much reinforced and enriched by the music. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's for the culture. That's what I always tell people.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I always like to say that we are the next iteration of the culture. Because what does hip hop look like as it gets older? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not Blueface. I'm not DaBaby. I'm not, you know, like none of these younger dudes. You know what I'm saying? And no knock on them at all.
Yeah.
That. No, but I'm my own man. I'm my own person. I grew up on hip-hop. I got a love for it, and I do it well. You know what I'm saying? So as long as I continue to do it well, I will do it. And I think that there is room for that in the culture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's also, it's not driven by money, it's driven by passion.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I will take some dollars, though.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not saying that. We'll definitely take some dollars, yeah. We'll definitely take some coins, we're on, yes. But it's driven by passion, though. It's not driven by money.
No, you're right. No, it is. It's definitely driven by passion. I mean, just for us to even get to where we at today, It's a labor of love, trust me. You know what I'm saying? And some days are harder than others to keep doing it. But yeah, it's definitely driven by a passion. Absolutely.
And then maybe in like 5 years, my guy was supposed to have that Crown Royal sponsorship. So Crown Royal, if you're listening, can you cut the check for Wiz?
Not even 5 years. I want that shit before the end of 2020, bro.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Crown Royal sponsorship for Wiz's Beast / that filling. will happen in 2020. You mark my words on that.
I was going to say, too, Crown Royal, if you're sending us boxers, just send them all to Wiz.
Send them all to Wiz. I'll take care of them for you. Don't even worry about it.
They fuck up, I'll send you mine. I'll just keep for you. I'm like, yo, Wiz, they fucked up again.
Appreciate you.
So with that being said, Wiz, I hope the people tap the hell in, because you guys are messing some incredible music if you ain't. Start with Crown Royal Over Life, and then work your way up to Baller Box 2. The subscription is Bandcamp only. I'll make sure I throw it in the link so people can tap all the way in. But with that being said, though, I'm not going to ask you the same question for my returning guest on... What was it again? What are you going to do for somebody for in a dark place? But instead, I'm going to turn it around. And because for my returning guest, I want to do something a little bit different. Instead of you saying something to the fans, I'm going to say something to you, maybe, that will inspire you.
Let's go, Mo. See, let's do it.
So if you ever feel like you're forcing music or you're making a song, it's like, man, no one's going to like this shit. Just throw it out there, because you never know what people may gravitate towards too. Because when I heard, like, the Killing Me Softly, I was like, that's the whole other side of Wiz I never would have expected. So I want you to tap into that. I really want you to tap into introspective self and on the lo-fi files, because I can't wait to hear what this is going to sound like.
Hey, man, I can't wait for you to hear it, and definitely... whenever you get a chance and you listen to it once it drops, man, hit me up directly, bro. I want to know how you feel about it.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I'll hit you on the text. I won't even hit you on IG. I'll hit you on the text.
Sound like something, my G. Absolutely.
Oh, so with that being said, this is my guy. This is Fam. Welcome back anytime he wants. He can hit me tomorrow and we'll do it. Is there anything that you want to plug in, Wiz, before I let you go?
I mean, just the usual. Like I said, Pals Lounge, November 30th. That feeling, you know, if you win ATL, man, come fuck with us. We'll take care of you. You know what I'm saying? Of course, That Feeling the Squad, you know, follow us on Instagram. Everything is there. And everybody got the link tree in their bio. So if you do at Wiz is Beast, if you do at Mark Sox, E Smitty, 110, you know, From the Desk Alone, like Clint Taylor, it's so easy to get in touch with everything that we're doing. But definitely, you know, man, $3 a month, ain't nothing, bro. Had KRS-One say, boy, it's less than your weed habit. You know what I'm saying? So go ahead, you know what I mean? Subscribe. You get first. Like, as soon as that shit drop, it's yours. It's accessible. You can rock that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because it takes time before it gets to the streaming services and all that. And by that time, man, all your people should have already subscribed. They gonna be banging that shit already. You know what I mean? You want to catch that shit fresh right out the pot, like that fried chicken. You understand me? So make sure you subscribe. You know what I'm saying? Links in everybody's bio. You know what I mean? Just keep fucking with us. And as always, man, From the Desk Low, homie, man, it's always love. I know a nigga be busy, be late with the replies and all that. I got to say this to everybody on my team, because I'm terrible with that shit.
Oh, it's all good. Everyone has their own lives.
Exactly. It's all love, you know what I'm saying? But I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to your boy, man, always.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Fam, anyway, too. And plus, the people have to know Wiz is Beast, and if they don't, y'all sleeping.
Fat. Wake your punk ass up.
With that being said, this is another classic episode. And yeah, I know I be saying classic a lot, but I really do be dropping classics. It's another classic interview. My guy, Wiz is Beast.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.